Welcome back. Jason Matera here in the saddle, filling in for Jason Rance. And my first time working with Peyton. Welcome aboard to the show, my man.
Hey, welcome yourself. Glad to have you here.
Yes, it is glad to be here. You're a newbie still. How is Rance treating you?
You know, some days better than others.
I got to tell you, my wife, who listens to the show, and she's like, I like this guy Peyton. He gives it back to Rance.
That's good. You know, he lets me out of a cage sometimes, okay. But usually I am locked in a cage. So you being here is absolutely fantastic. No cage for me today. I got to be my own person.
Yes, you have to be your own person. That is correct. A little bit about me. I filled in for Rance plenty of times. In fact, it was 2 weeks straight when he was on vacation in August, I think.
Yeah, he goes to Italy a lot.
Is the boy on vacation again?
Yeah.
Again?
Yes.
Dude, I want his... Well, listen, I'm not complaining because it means that I get the opportunity to fill in and talk to you for 3 hours, which I enjoy. I've been a political journalist and commentator and author for more than a decade. Started out in D.C., migrated to the Pacific Northwest, coming on 7 years ago. With my wife after I got married and have been here ever since. Recently got done with a television show with Warner Brothers called Crime Watch Daily and got some other projects with them in the works. I can't share right now because of some confidentiality clauses, but I will once I am able to. If you want to get on the... You know what? I was going to give out the tax resolution hotline, but I don't have it up. What is it, Peyton? What's the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline? I should know this by heart.
You want to text in, it's 800-465-8770. Excuse me.
800-465-8770 is the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. And this hour of the program is brought to you by Northwest Safe. Get their safe. I have one of their safes. You should have a Northwest Safe, too. They can protect your firearms, which you should have plenty. Plenty, plenty. Do you have one, Peyton?
I do not. I'm in the process.
Are you in the process? That's good.
I know. I need to get one, you know, before all these laws change and make it so that, you know, I won't be able to get one and make it impossible for me to have. I need to get one ASAP.
It sounds like you've been tuning into the show you produce.
You know what? I can't turn a deaf ear to this show.
No, you can't. As the producer, you cannot turn a deaf ear to the show. All right, so we are going to get started in What's Trending.
What's Trending in Seattle.
In Seattle, of course, right? We got to start with Seattle. But this was a surprise. I read this headline in the Seattle Times, and I was surprised. And then I was even more surprised, not by the content of the story, but the angle of the story. Because generally, the Seattle Times is going to be an apologist for the prevailing progressive opinion here in the greater Seattle area. They are stenographers for the left, but once in a while they stray off the reservation. And here is one of these instances. The headline is, Seattle says the answer to street crime is more money, but it used to handle far more cases for less. This is about the latest report that was released by the Seattle Downtown Alliance. It was called, the first one was called System Failure One. It was about repeat offenders who consist of the vast majority of the crime here in Seattle. This latest report was System Failure Two. And System Failure Two pointed out that the city attorney, Pete Holmes, won't even prosecute 50% of the cases that are investigated and brought to him by the police. And in fact, when he does, so 50% out the window, we're not going to prosecute that. Then when he does prosecute, the crime his office prosecutes these crimes, it takes them 6 months to start the process. 6 months to start the process. Clearly, there is system failure in Pete Holmes's own office. So here is how the Seattle Times starts out. It's barely news, these findings of a Monday report, that the city is letting almost half the misdemeanor crimes in Seattle go uncharged. even after a case has been submitted by the police for prosecution. Calling the police after a theft or other low-level crime has come to be seen as fruitless in Seattle, said the report, which was put out by some business associations. The report didn't target the cops for blame, but the lawyers. That would be Pete Holmes' office. Police spend tens of thousands of hours developing misdemeanor cases that either never get filed or the cases sit at the city attorney's office. For such a long time, they eventually get dismissed. So Pete Holmes, and we all know this to be true, right? We see businesses closing down in downtown Seattle, Bartell's the latest one, because nothing is done by these junkies who terrorize people on the streets. Can we say junkies here on the show? Peyton?
Of course.
Okay, we can just check it. So we've seen it with Bartels and other people, just terrorized by these vagrants, strung out of their minds, and nothing is done. They steal, they commit other property crimes, and just, you know, well, it's a misdemeanor. Well, we're not going to do anything. So we knew about that. Pete Holmes, the surprising part, Pete Holmes acknowledged it's the case. He acknowledged that, in fact, yeah, we don't prosecute all the cases, and it takes a long time because we need more, you guessed it, money. We just need more money. He said it would take an additional $2 million to help prosecute these cases. $2 million. Now, $2 million is nothing when you're talking about Seattle City's budget. It is a drop in the ocean. It is a minuscule amount. A minuscule amount. $2 million. You can't find, guys, $2 million in this widespread, vast budget. But of course, there's, you know, we can ban plastic straws and we can have all these other virtue signaling initiatives around the city that we can pump millions of dollars to in the name of social justice. But here is where the Seattle Times is, to their credit, antenna went up. The reporter said that the office had 156 employees. This is Pete Holmes' office. When he started in 2010. So 9 years ago, there were 156 employees. Today, there are 196 employees. So there's been a 26% increase in staff. 26% increase in staff. When Pete Holmes first came to office, the attorneys filed nearly 13,421 cases, right? So more than 13,000 cases were filed in court in 2010. 2017, right? Fast forward to the present. They filed not even 8,000 cases in court. A 42% drop in case filing. So they have more staff, they have more money, and yet we are seeing fewer results and fewer prosecutions. Some of it, Pete Holmes says, is because he doesn't want to punish poverty. What? Excuse me? No, seriously. According to Seattle Times, some of these threadbare prosecutions were by design. For instance, the city no longer brings most charges for driving with a suspended license. Oh, okay. On the grounds that this charge mostly just punished poverty. So more than 3,000 cases right there have evaporated, vanished. That's good to know, Peyton, right? Next time we get pulled over, well, we're not going to drive with, I don't know, I'm going to speak for myself, but I assume, Peyton, you are not driving with a suspended license.
Not yet.
Not yet, but you can.
Apparently.
You can, because you can just scream poverty. Oh, whoa, oh, I can't afford to renew my license. What? What? You must be a racist for trying to prosecute me and hate poor people. That's the rationale. We're going to punish, seriously? You're going to punish poverty for prosecuting someone who failed to renew their license or is driving. Well, by the way, their license may be suspended for myriad other reasons, right? Like maybe a DUI. Maybe multiple traffic infractions. Maybe racking up, well, we don't have a point system here, but getting, you know, you get a certain number of speeding tickets within a 2-year window. What is it? I think it's 4 or 5 in Washington State. And your license can be restricted for a year. I guess that's a, you know, it's punishing poverty too. This is a window. You know, we're going to continue with the story because there's a lot more to get to. Back with me, Jason Matera, filling in for Jason Rantz as he's on vacation. Where is he on vacation this time? Last time he was hopscotching Europe.
I think he's in America's playland, Vegas.
Vegas. He is in Vegas placing bets, I'm sure. Well, do they do soccer bets?
Oh, yeah. They have everything.
I know they have everything in Vegas.
You can bet on cornhole.
Are people betting, though, on soccer?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not a soccer guy, personally. I know he is.
I am, too. I'm one of those.
You're a soccer guy.
I'm an all-sports guy, but yeah.
Would you rank soccer as your favorite, or is it...
I throw baseball 1, soccer 2, NBA 3, NFL 4.
Wow. See, usually it's inverted, right? NFL's at the top.
See,
then soccer's at the bottom.
And yes, you are right. It is inverted. But, you know, NFL's once a week. MLB's great. There's a game on every day in MLB.
But it's like 4 hours of your life.
Golf?
Clearly you are not married and don't have kids yet.
Not yet.
No, not yet. Okay. Enjoy all the MLB games then, Peyton, now in your single life, because those 4 hours will never happen once you get... But it's okay. Or maybe you can watch, your kids can grow up watching these sports games. Where were we? Oh, see, we go. Look at that.
I got you sidetracked. I'm sorry.
We're sidetracked.
Look at me.
I can blame the new guy, Peyton. Even though I'm the guest host, I can't really blame anyone. Right?
I'm still the new guy. You can throw any sort of blame at me, and it will always be acceptable.
So the Seattle Times points out that the general budget proposed by Mayor Durkin is $1.5 billion, which is, as they write, a glitzy 35% increase since 2016. Money is not the issue here. It is a deranged mindset, and it stems, unfortunately, from our mayor, Jenny Durkin, all the way down, in this case, to Pete Holmes. He's the city attorney. His office is in charge of prosecuting these misdemeanors. A misdemeanor can get you, depending on the severity, up to 1 year in jail. Anything above that is handed off to Dan Satterberg, King County prosecutor for the felonies, and you know that's a whole other story. But similar deranged mindset. In these individuals' warped worldview, there are two classes of individuals. There's a stratification when it comes to the law. There's the law that we must abide by, ascribe to its ordinances, and if we fail to follow the law, we are dinged. We are punished. And then there's the other class, the social justice class. This is the class of individuals who are supposedly untouchable. Untouchable. And in this case, those people driving with suspended license, untouchable because they're affected by poverty. Someone defecating in the street and popping up a tent everywhere. Oh, can't mention that. Are we going to criminalize homelessness, Jason? See, it's always in this deranged mindset of the left. Personal responsibility is marginalized. It is undermined. You don't actually have agency over your own life and your own life choices and decision making. No, it is always somebody else's fault. Always. So if you find yourself popping up a tent in Gasworks Park or in front of your local pharmacy, it's obviously the fault of capitalism and Amazon. Of course. And developers, you know, they're just raising homes and building more expensive ones. Oh, clearly it's their fault. If you get caught with a suspended license, well, we're not going to prosecute that because clearly you couldn't just pay for to renew your license. How much is it to renew your license, by the way? It can't be that much.
It varies. I mean, I think I paid $75 last time I was in.
But it lasts, what, 5 years?
Five years.
5 years. Okay, so $75 over 5 years. That's Peyton. Now, I you know, it's been a long time. How old are you?
I am 24.
Okay, you're 24. Young buck. I'm 36. So it's been a long time in my early 20s. And I know when finances were a struggle, right? I know. I get it. Moving on. But $75 over 5 years, is that cumbersome, would you say?
No.
Or is that like, you just kind of give up your lattes for a week?
Seems doable.
Seems like you can manage that. Seems like it. I'm just saying. Maybe you don't upgrade every time an iPhone is released. Maybe you don't upgrade. Huh? You don't need the next iPhone 11. Maybe you can go stick with iPhone 7 or 8. Or I have the 6S, although I do need a new one. My battery is just tanking. Right? You see, but in the mind of the left, these type of decision-making processes goes out the door. Thus, we have criminals running loose, and there is no accountability. By the way, when we have on record the city attorney, think about it. This is like the chief law enforcement agency for the city, saying we don't prosecute people with suspended license. When they're on the record saying that, there is nothing. If I don't want to renew my license and I get pulled over and cited for driving with a suspended license, I now have every legal authority to challenge that citation in court. Because you can't just ignore whole cloth parts of the law. Now, prosecutors could have individual discretion here and there, but you can't just say that part of the law we are ignoring for this class of people. Can't do it. Eventually, you get a chaotic breakdown in society. Public safety, as we see, is deteriorating. Confidence in law enforcement continues to be marginalized. Our trust in city officials who are, like, we're just asking for the basics now, right? Isn't this the basics? See, if you try to be all things to all people, you'll never succeed. And with city government, it's not a sexy job. Municipality is not sexy. I don't want to hear your thoughts on climate change and what you're going to do, curbing the Earth's temperature. No, you're a city official. You have no expertise in this, and you really can't do, you can do diddly doodle about it. You can do diddly squat about the Earth's temperature. Stop. I don't want to hear about that. I don't want to hear your thoughts on Donald Trump's immigration policy. Nope, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear your thoughts on Supreme Court justices or impeachment proceedings. I don't care. What I do care is, are you maintaining a civil society where you're actually in charge? Are you? Are you ensuring that our streets are safe? Are you ensuring that our parks are safe? Are you ensuring that our schools are safe? What are you doing locally that's actually in your jurisdiction? And this report, surprisingly by the Seattle Times, shows that the city attorney's office, Pete Holmes, who is a disgrace, could not care less about maintaining order. Could not care less. Now, I'm just leaving. There's more I can get to. All right, coming up, we have a few stories I want to get to. One is apparently Al Franken. He's supposed to appear here locally at the Paramount Theater, and you have lefties who are saying his event should be canceled. It's interesting how progressives are now even making me sort of feel badly for Al Franken. I have I wouldn't call it sympathy at this point, but we'll get to that story. Plus, we have a District 5 Seattle City Council candidate, Ann Sattler. She's running against Deborah Juarez. Quite frankly, anyone, even if it's someone in a tent, would be better than Miss Juarez. So, we're going to get to that interview coming up, and a lot more with me, Jason Matera. If you want to get on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline, that's 800-465-8770. I forgot it. 8770. 800-465-8770. Welcome back. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Jason Rants, as he is on another vacation, apparently. So you get me. I'm glad. Rants, take more vacations. I don't mind filling in for you. I appreciate it. Appreciate your time. Just as you tune in today and working with Peyton for the first time, I am still shocked about this headline by the Seattle Times, where it says, Seattle says the answer to street crime is more money, but it used to handle far more cases for less. Not for the content of it, but that the even the Seattle Times is calling BS on the city attorney's office for why they fail to prosecute half the cases that are given before them. And we have a texter, Jim in Auburn, on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline, who makes an excellent point. Pete Holmes says they don't prosecute those who have suspended driver's license because they would be punishing poverty. Okay. Seems like a stretch. But this is different from an expired driver's license, where you don't fail to renew it and you're just driving with an expired license. If your license is suspended, it is for an infraction. It could be a serious infraction. But no, you can't do that with this city because, social justice and all those. Basically, we need a clean house. We need a clean house in the Seattle city government. And that starts with the Seattle City Council, which currently is populated by radicals. District 5 has an incumbent running, Deborah Juarez. And quite frankly, anyone would be better than Deborah Juarez. Luckily, we have someone who not just qualifies for that seat, but has some specific plans on how she would fix this mess in Seattle. Her name is Ann Davison Sattler, and she joins me, Jason Matera, guest hosting for Jason Rants. Ann, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Jason.
So, I'm sure you've seen this report by the that was released, System Failure 2, and it talked about how investigated and found out how the city's attorney's office is failing to prosecute nearly half of the misdemeanor cases brought by police, and many of them are not just not just traffic criminal cases, but they're assault, it's theft. And Pete Holmes has decided, well, he says he needs more money, even though his budget is bigger than when he took over in 2010. And he has a far greater staff at this point, too. He needs more money, of course. I guess forefront in everyone's mind is public safety in Seattle. So what would you do differently if you were elected to the city council than the current city council?
Well, that is a great question, because the incumbent, Deborah Juarez, has been there this entire term without an approach for handling the situation with so many people being unsheltered on our streets. And some of them are needing to get in from the cold. And some are probably taking advantage of the situation that we're allowing to occur and want to do bad acts. And we need to make sure we're distinguishing between those two groups so we get people into help. But those who are here interested in doing bad acts in our city need to know that there are consequences for those things. And to have non-traffic misdemeanors, so many of them, over 37,000 that were not prosecuted between 2010 and 2017, is very alarming. And what I'm concerned about is, I'm a lawyer and so is the incumbent I'm against, that there's not a voice calling that out, that it's taken people outside of city leadership to actually say, what is going on over there? Even though it's outside the city council authority, we still should have been hearing vocally from voices saying, this is not okay that this is going on under our watch. And this is what I'm hearing from residents, that there is a grave concern for public safety. And despite what the incumbent said at the City Club debate of crime was down 10% citywide, these numbers show us that is not the case. That invalidating of residents' experience is demeaning and belittling, and I don't want it anymore.
Yeah, and I think people hopefully are getting fed up. And to your point, Deborah Juarez, she's against these sweeps. She's against cops. Helping with the navigation team to get people off the streets and give them an option, either connect them to resources or, listen, sometimes you need tough love. She's against this entirely. So I think most reasonable people will say, okay, yeah, you have a short-term housing issue, right? You're homeless for whatever reasons. There was a breakdown somewhere along the line. We want to connect you with the resources. And we spend about $100,000 in taxpayer money per homeless person in King County. So it's funding isn't an issue. Resources isn't an issue. Anyone who goes to, say, volunteers for Union Gospel Mission can see that there are, and Salvation Army, there are organizations out there that want to help people. And we should connect them to help. But then there's the population that are almost professionals at living on the street and subsidizing their their desire to live on the street and their drug addiction through crime, mostly, and just siphoning off taxpayer resources. And they have no desire to get their lives in order or to get better. So what would you do for those group of people?
Well, we need to be changing the pattern. Right now we have a pattern that's coming out, and particularly in D5, a pattern of neglect. And we need to change that pattern citywide and within District 5 to become one of a pattern of care and a pattern of responsiveness. Once the pattern of leadership is different, then the quality of life and the experience of residents on a daily basis will be different. It's really critical that the public understands, because I've been hearing things from them since January. I've been campaigning for very many months, and I've heard from thousands of District 5 residents about the neglect they've experienced, about the disdain and contempt that they've had from the incumbent herself, Deborah Juarez. I mean, we saw it again at the Google, if you could Google Rude Council, that's there prominently, right? And so when people have gone and said, I need help, there's a young couple living there in Licton Springs. They bought their first townhome, and they both were from developing countries. They felt the least safe of their lives living in Licton Springs when that tiny house village was there. And the crime rate rose 103% from 2016 to 2017. And they reached out to their council member, Jebel Juarez, who's the incumbent. And they did not get any help. They had campers in their backyard. They had people using the front porch as the bathroom. And they had to sell their first townhome at a loss just to leave the area. So the disdain for what people are actually experiencing is so severe that we really need to make sure we remove all the incumbents, particularly the one I'm running against. We need to restore public trust between the public and City Hall, and that means that we are there validating the experience of what we're hearing from residents, not belittling that experience.
Why do you think council members like Deborah Juarez, who are speaking with Ann Davison Sattler, who's running against her, Deborah Juarez in District 5, why do you think council, and there are others, all the incumbents are dripping with contempt, and you use the word belittling, which I think is an apt way to describe it. There's this belittling attitude towards constituents when it comes to something as important and basic as maintaining civil society, basic law and order. Yeah, no new residents should have vagrants coming in, you know, defecating or peeing, urinating on their front porch. I mean, this is like basics. You expect the government to protect you against something like that. Why is there such opposition for enforcing, again, which are just basic health, sanitary, and public safety concerns?
I think that the we like to call ourselves a welcoming city, but it really has not been from city council that it's a welcoming city for law enforcement officers. And I mean that they are there to provide the assistance that we need, but because they don't get the backup on the prosecution side, their work often feels like it's pointless. And then when the culture of the conversation from the current city council is one that they are not welcome people who want to go into law enforcement, that's a critical issue. We need to have people who want to choose that as an occupation. It's an absolute must for a city. And I think it's a reason why we are having difficulty in hiring and retaining officers at the moment is because of that coming out from the city council. And we need to know that if we allow this to continue, this is the status quo. And I, for one, do not want to have 4 more years of this status quo. And I've heard from thousands of District 5 residents that also do not want to have this continue for another 4 years.
You're right. Being a law enforcement officer is a thankless job to begin with, but somehow Seattle City Council members have been able to raise that thanklessness even more so, and we need it, as you have pointed out. Something that caught my eye on your solutions for Seattle, I didn't grow up in the Pacific Northwest. I've been here about 7 years, and what struck me immediately was just the aesthetic, picturesque views. And the lush green spaces, snow-capped mountains, like it's just like we are so privileged to live in an area that you really can't experience the beauty of nature as in other places. Now, but yet, so you have protecting local green spaces, natural water sources, and wildlife, right? But it's odd because there's like this itch amongst those in elected office to turn every green space available into some type of housing development, or there is a carelessness when it comes to parks, allowing people to post tents in parks. And, you know, it takes sometimes months to get them cleared out. This and we hear this moral posturing about the environment and climate change. And, you know, we're going to ban natural gas hookups. Everyone's going to have an electric car, all these different things, which whatever, you know, that can be debatable. But the what they're in charge of, the local environment, right? It can't be healthy for the environment to have needles. It can't be healthy to have for the environment for people to be, you know, defecating in the streets and in parks. And it's not good for residents. It's not good for the people in the tents. Certainly not good for the environment. So there seems to be this schizophrenia where we morally posture about the environment, and yet when it comes to actions that we have responsibility over, the elected officials seem out to lunch.
Yeah, we do want to be a green leader. I mean, Seattle, we want to be known for that. And it's critical that we look that way and we act that way. And that means that they need to be in sync. And they're not in sync at the moment. And that's what is really concerning. I do want to make sure we move away from fossil fuel. We need to be talking about renewable natural gas, which the port is looking at doing. I think that's an amazing idea to do and pursue. And I have an infographic on my website to how we can offset the carbon emissions for our gasoline use in our vehicles until we have an alternative that's readily available for everyone. So these are ways that we can do that. But at the same time, we need to make sure that we are also taking care of the environment that we are living in. And that means the soil and the water. And we are currently under a consent decree with the EPA. We talk about the police consent decree, but we are in a consent decree with the EPA for stormwater. And so it's really critical that we understand when we allow encampments to occur along Thornton Creek, where we have spent millions of dollars just a few years ago to restore 1,600 feet of channel of that Thornton Creek, we're not even protecting our own environmental asset that we have spent money to protect, because we are allowing water contamination to go down. There's evidence of E. coli, and it is human-based. It is not waterfowl. It is human-based E. coli in Matthews Beach. And we have topsoil. We're having to take off 2 inches of topsoil after encampments are swept. Again, not telling them where they can go. We just say, you can't be here. And then we have to pay to clean up the soil and the contamination that we've allowed to occur for the months and months that we are telling people you can just exist in whatever form of self-care you can create for yourself in this public space until we tell you that you can no longer be here. And then you go and do it somewhere else. This is just no way to approach any problem of any severity. We must deal with climate change. That means we also must deal with people that are on the streets. And this is no way to do either. We are not helping our environment, the land and the waterways, and we are not helping people that are clearly needing shelter, and we're not being good stewards of our tax dollars. So this approach of just no plan should not be allowed to continue anymore. And it starts with removing incumbents that have no ideas for policies. I mean, that's just the plain truth.
We're speaking with Ann Davison Sattler. Ann, she's running against Deborah Juarez, District 5. Deborah Juarez is disgraceful. So if you're in District 5, consider donating to Ann Sattler and certainly voting for her. How can people get a hold of you?
Yes, that is critical. We have so many volunteers, and it is so exciting to meet people along the campaign trail. So my website is Neighbors for Ann. It's all one word, and it's A-N-N. I do not have an E. Neighborsforann.com. I am on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Nextdoor, whatever anybody likes to be on social media. And on the website, you can donate, which is critical because this is how we get the word out to all the District 5 voters. And before I go, I just really want to make sure that people understand that I have heard so much from the residents on all these months of campaigning, and I really do want to validate the experience that they have been experiencing, because I experienced it myself with the incumbent, Deborah Juarez, where she just thinks it's appropriate to be intimidating, belittling, and trying to bully people. And it happened to me. She tried to do that to her political opposition, and it happened to the people on my campaign, where her paid tax dollar paid staff told my volunteers they were unwelcome at a public event, a city funded, tax dollar funded event. They were unwelcome to pass out campaign literature. It's really concerning to see that abuse of power of an office when someone is in it. That is not the way we want to have anyone in elected office to behaving, and we need to make sure that we put an end to this. And that means voting in November, voting for change, and if you live outside of the city, know that this is, we want to start the change here, right? We make sure we set the tone that this is what we mean. We want the elected people to actually listen and be connected to people and not be belittling and demeaning.
The website is neighborsforann.com. Ann Davis and Settler joining me, Jason Matera, guest hosting for Jason Rants. Vote in November, District 5, and kick Deborah Juarez out of office. Give her the boo. Thanks for joining us, Ann, and best of luck on the campaign.
Thank you, Jason. Have a good day.
You too. All right, Jason Matera here filling in for Jason Rants. Vegan claims the sausage roll traumatized her for life. We got that and some Maxine Waters bits for you coming up. That and a lot more. But welcome back. Jason Matera here in the saddle for Jason Rants as he is on vacation. You got me today. You got me tomorrow. So hopefully you're enjoying the show thus far. We just got finished talking to Ann Davis and Santler running for District 5 in the Seattle City Council race. And she noted something that is important to underscore further. And that is all the bad stuff from Seattle, even if you're not in the city, it creeps on out. And like an octopus, the tentacles just start to expand and expand and expand to different areas. But if you start to clean up Seattle and show that in Seattle this is just not going to fly, then it would have the impact positively on other areas outside of the city. It was my first time. Have you guys talked to her on the show? No? No pain? Okay.
No, that's first time.
First time. Maybe, I'm sure Rance at some point has talked to her. Well, the incumbent, Deborah Juarez, is so awful. I mean, everyone, really, everyone, there needs to be a house cleaning, a purge. We have Rhino on the Roads, who sent a text in to the None Better Tax Resolution hotline, which is 800-465-8770, makes an excellent point. Talking about Pete Holmes, saying he needs $2 million more in taxpayer money to prosecute 50% more of the crimes. Well, Pete Holmes has a $16 million budget. So if he needs just $2 million more, how is $2 million more to a $16 million budget going to prosecute 50% more of the cases brought to him? The math doesn't add up. But then again, we're told that math is racist. Do you know that? Oh, we're going to get to that story. Did Rance talk about that yesterday?
He briefed over it a little bit.
At some point.
He guaranteed the listeners that we would talk about
and
it
then
today.
He did?
Yes.
Okay. And then he just handed it off. All right, we'll have to get to either today. But no, seriously, the Seattle Public Schools is saying that math now is racist, part of the white man's attempt to subjugate people of color. Interesting. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Jason Rants. Al Franken still in hot water, maybe canceled from his upcoming Seattle appearance. That and a lot more once we return.